This Sunday, side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! But mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
Jazzy ghouls and gals out there. We're jamming on Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, with your hosts, Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, and our special guest today, Mr. Carl Anthony, who will be with us in a bit. So, this is actually our last show of the year. Chris, what do you have to say about that?
Oh my gosh, thank goodness for that.
Small wonders never cease.
We made it. Another one.
We did. And that's because, we won't be on next week. It's Christmas Day, and we'll be off with our families and doing all sorts of cool stuff like that. And, hey, we get a day off. What can I tell you?
Sure. Getting into arguments, opening up presents, throwing eggnog at each other. It's a typical. Hey, have you had any Christmas tragedies? Like, have you ever had, a Christmas tragedy? Nothing like, deaths in the family. Don't get me wrong. Nothing like that. I mean, tragedies that were Christmas-related. We just had one recently. We bought a tree, from a local area here, and we put it up, and literally every pine needle fell off the tree, within a span of 3 days, bling, you had a donut of pine needles. Oh, wow. Around the tree. When we put the lights up, donut, and I'm sweeping up pine needles, and literally it was almost turning into a fire hazard where we had to dump that tree, run out and go get another one in the middle of the night.
We had to.
That was our tragedy. Yeah.
Once, many years ago, one of our cats that we had actually did jump into the tree.
Ooh.
And it started to fall over. But I caught it in time. And what I was able to do is get some string up on top. And I had a hook in the ceiling from a plant that we had up to years ago. And I just was able to tether it. And I said, aha, you won't get me a second time. So that was about it.
That was it? Wow.
Yeah, that was really about it. We've been lucky. But I'll tell you what people are not lucky in doing and what they have to really change, what we should all get out there and do. And it's tire pressure. I know I haven't been harping about this year, but I'll tell you this today.
Usually it's every other show for you.
I know. And I rest assured, I still regularly and religiously check my tire pressures.
And I just think of you every time I do it.
Just this morning, I went out, I drove the FJ today, and I said, you know what? I haven't checked the pressures in about a week. The takeaway is, the quick takeaway is some cars need their pressures adjusted more than others.
True.
So my wife's Cruise, for some reason, holds the pressure in the tires much longer and reliably than the FJ does. I have those tires at 37 pounds, and I had one of them was down to 34. They were all around 34 or so, and they take a while to pump up. So,
yeah, because the tire is as big as a semi-truck tire on this.
It's a 265/60/17. It's not huge. I mean, they're not huge and they're not oversized, but it's
I call them big rubber.
Yeah. Well, they're bigger than regular car tires for sure.
Sure.
But the point is, I had just adjusted those maybe a week ago, And as we know, for every 10-degree drop in temperature, you lose one PSI. For every 10-degree rise, you gain one. So the pressure will change during the day. But to start out low is, it's a recipe for disaster. And I know some people haven't checked them in a month. Some people haven't checked them in a year. Some people never checked them. And even the people who checked them last week. You know what? Now, like on the cruise, from the driver's seat on the stalk, I can bring up the tire pressure monitors, and I can see what my pressures are in that car.
That's very cool.
Which I found to be a little bit of a discrepancy between the gauge that I use. It's not spot on, but you know what? It's better than nothing.
Yeah, it's close enough. You're in the ballpark, and that's not bad. And also, there's a definite difference between the aluminum road wheels that we have on these newer cars compared to the older steel wheels that, for some reason, and I know the reasons, but not to go long on the reason themselves, but steel wheels hold the tire pressure longer than an aluminum or magnesium wheel. So yeah, it's just the way of the world. You have to, once you have an aluminum rim, you got to keep after it a lot more, because I'll check the tire pressures in the Mazda, which has aluminum wheels, and they'll be all over the place. And then I'll check the tire pressure in the Explorer, which has steel wheels, and it's always the same. Rarely do I have to add or remove air from a tire on the steel wheels.
Now, so, I'll tell you something. Of course, if anybody who knows the history of the show knows that we're usually diametrically opposed on most things automotive.
Yay!
The Christmas cat agrees. I had the Christmas cat with me today.
Oh, I thought you were nodding for a second.
And I'll tell you why. Because the aforementioned cruise that I was talking about, that car has aluminum wheels, and those pressures stay pretty much solid. My FJ, which has... No, wait. No, I do have aluminum wheels on the FJ. I thought I had steel wheels. That's the one that varies on me. Go on, Kim.
Sorry.
So, but the thing is, the FJ, even though they're aluminum, I had them dismounted, cleaned, powder coated.
Right.
So they had a better, should have a better seal.
They should. And there's one, I have one aluminum rim on the Mazda that always gives me trouble every other year. It always does.
Yeah.
It starts losing air ever so slightly, and then I have to go and get it dismounted, get the, like you say, you have to get that scale removed from where the tire, where the rubber tire meets the rim.
Yeah.
It scales up and air sneaks in under there, and that's how you get those leaks that you do.
The other thing is the tire pressure monitors, the TPMS. I've had problems with them where they would actually leak, and I had a problem with that in my daughter's car. I had a problem with that on the FJ, and I brought one of the tires into our buddies over at Tire Town a couple of years ago, and said, hey, I think I need a tire pressure sensor in here, and the guy, the mechanic, said, you know what, let me take a look at it. He goes, I've had great luck kind of repairing these things. I said, really? So he just broke the one bead, got in there, got the tire pressure monitor out, and he took it apart, and he showed me there's an O-ring inside that sometimes it dries out a little. So he just cleaned it with some solvent, so a little soapy water and solvent, and then put a little bit of oil on it and put it back together. He goes, 9 out of 10, this is going to fix it. You'll save $100-something on the sensor. And he was right. It did. So,
holy smokes, that's great.
Yeah, so the thing is, find a good tire guy, I guess.
Yeah. Or you find a bad tire guy or an ordinary tire guy, and you say, give me the sensor out of there, and you bring that home.
Yeah.
Do the sensor service and bring it back.
Exactly.
Find a tire guy. It's not really doing much that day.
And that's the thing, though. A lot of people don't have that the rapport with the tire shops or the shops they deal with. Sometimes you just have to ask, and you may get what you're looking for.
Tipping well also helps, too.
Well, that's another good one, right? That's another good one. So
I found that tipping well definitely helps.
Right.
It's definitely that time of year, and I've been doing it more than most lately, is keeping the tire pressures checked, especially on like the Chrysler, where I haven't used it all month. So I actually overflate the tires in the winter. I kind of put like 40 pounds just to keep, maybe there's a chance you can keep the tires from flattening out. Then when I roll it out, I take the tires.
Same thing. The FJ, I think it calls for for 32, maybe 34. But I'm at 30. I put them up to 37.
Yeah, I don't believe that what the owner's manual says. I never did.
Yeah.
Because I always felt the owner's manual wants to give you that cushy, soft, mushy ride, and they don't really care about how you wear your tires down.
And I tell you, I haven't felt a detriment, like the truck doesn't skid around. I don't feel like I really lost. I mean, it's not a performance handling vehicle, so it's not like I expect it to take corners, you know, 90-degree corners. But I haven't had any detriment in doing that, so I continue. And I do that with all the cars. I always kick them up a couple pounds and give me that little fudge factor, you know, and then I've been fine. And I haven't, you know, the first thing people are going to say is, oh, you're overflating the tires. You're going to wear them in the center. Well, I haven't seen that. It hasn't shown yet. So I'm not at that point in the scale.
Right. I always look too. I always look at the center tread just to make sure that I'm not ruining my tire prematurely as well. So yeah, get it. Totally
but
get it.
If you get it and you want to talk about it, you can call us at 516-572-7440 and check us out on social media. Of course, we're Motor Mouth Radio on the web, on Twitter, and on Facebook. On Instagram, it's real_MotorMouthRadio.
Mm-hmm.
And when we have Carl on today, he'll be on the internal meeting. So if you are listening and you want to ask Carl a question or comment, you can call 516-572-7440 and get in on the fun, as we like to say.
So I have been talking about temperature-related issues. I have been trying to get my transmission to shift correctly when it's cold.
Yeah.
And it really looks like it's a fluid issue. Other than the fact that the transmission is probably worn out, it's a cheap little car, so we're talking about nothing spectacular as far as craftsmanship.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm really focusing on the fluid. So what I did was I ran the fluid out as the car was running. I pulled the line off by the lower portion of the radiator, and I ran the fluid out into a bucket until it started to go pip, 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 pip. Then I shut the car off. And I ended up with about, I would say, 3 quarts of fluid there.
Right.
And then to hedge my bets, I dumped fluid out of the, there's a valve or a petcock on the side of the transmission. What would you say? The pan.
Yeah.
And I was able to drain about another quart of fluid out from there. So I didn't have to get messy. I didn't have to drop the pan or anything like that. And I got a certain amount out. And whatever I took out, I put the exact amount back in.
Okay.
So I did that one time. And she started to react to that. So
really?
I'm going to do that one more time. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to try doing it one more time. And it's the same way you have to change the fluid in both of the transmissions in the Mazda and in the Ford. It's the same way. They don't have filters.
Right.
They don't have accessible transmission pans. You literally have to spit the old stuff out and replace it with the exact same amount in.
Okay.
That's how they tell you to do it. Well, actually, they don't tell you. They tell you, oh, the transmission fluid doesn't need to be changed with the unit. And I say donkey dust to that.
Yeah. Well,
this fluid needs to be changed.
There's another way to do it. And I know on the Toyota, on my FJ, when you refill, they want you to monitor the transmission temperature with the scanner. And when it's at a certain range, that's when you go down and you let it overflow through the special valve that's on it, and then that's how they ask for it. But also,
my temperature is usually cold. So.
I know. Well, the temperature in the room just got a little warmer, gentlemen.
Yes, it did.
We have with us. Yes. Oh boy, it's time for the hat. That's it.
I love the hat, Ray.
It doesn't fit over the headphones, though. That's the problem.
Yeah. But I love the sweater, too. The very festive.
This is the special...
The snap-on
sweater.
This
was a special find on the tool truck last year. Yeah.
Wow. You have to be like a golden member. Well,
and I have the Christmas cat with me.
The Christmas cat.
The Christmas cat. You know, Christmas play. You remember her, Chris. She plays it.
Yeah, of course. Yes, it's not... It's not the holiday season until you hear the cheesy 80s music coming out of the
Out of the cat's tail. I don't know where. Whatever.
Better than what comes out of my cat's. Right. Whatever.
So, Carl, how have you been, Carl? We missed you.
It's good, and I guess I didn't realize I made the last show of the year.
Yes.
And every time I get off the air, I think, oh boy, they're never going to ask me back after that one. And sure enough, here I am at the very end.
Right. Hey, Who else to kick off our year with than you? Because you and the guys at audibleblog.net, you guys are the stalwarts of the game. You know, you're always on top of everything. But from radar detectors to winter tires to battery tech to tools, you guys cover everything and new cars and unbelievable. So it's a pleasure for us to have you with us.
Likewise. Yeah, I have not left the first page of your website, Carl, automoblog.com. I have not .net, I'm sorry. I have not left the first page. The first page is how to sell a car. Yep. So that alone is a joy to see how well you've documented. You really got your I's dotted and your T's crossed here. It really is well done, all the information. And it's not easy to sell a car.
Thank you, guys. You know, a lot of those articles that you're seeing on how to sell a car and things like that are done by our research team. And David and Brenda and the people who are on that team, they just do a fantastic job. And those are all things that people are searching for today. They're sort of asking those questions into Google when they go to Google search and they type in best radar detectors or best truck tires or best batteries or things like that. Or, you know, should I sell my, you know, if I'm going to sell my car, what service should I sell it to? Should I sell it to a dealership? Should I sell it to something like Pedal or Carvana, right? So we are trying to meet those readers, those people, and answer those key questions for them. So really the credit goes to the entire team that's around us. But one of our goals this year in 2023 is to have more articles and more content on the site like that to help answer some of those key questions that people might have.
Nice. The question I have for you is, I know with all the cars and well, you reminded me, I was in the mall with my wife yesterday and I saw a shirt and I said, hey, look there. I said, here's the shirt. Here's my shirt. And it said something to the effect of, I don't need to use Google. And Google was written in the Google, you know, script. It says, because my wife knows everything.
Right.
And she says, that's right. And she pulled me away.
Right.
Like, okay. But so I was wondering if under your tree this year will be something like this. I wonder if your wife graced you with the 2023 Rimac Nevera. Are you familiar with that car?
I am not familiar with that car. What? Let's see that. So hold that up to the zoom. Oh, my goodness.
I thought it was a Corvette. It's the, the world's fastest electric car. It's the 20th. And I figured I'd find this on Ormoblog. It's only $2.1 million.
Oh, well, yeah. Oh. I mean, I probably have one on order. I don't even realize it.
You know, four permanent magnet synchronous AC motors. It's a 1,900 horsepower.
Okay.
With 1,740 pound-feet of torque, 0 to 60 is 1.85 seconds.
Unbelievable.
And the top speed is 258 miles an hour. And,
send one to my house in Dubai. How about that?
Yeah. We're all going to get one, I think. We'll just have to figure which colors we want. I don't know.
Yeah, no kidding. So those... I've heard of that manufacturer though, Ray, now that you mention it. I've not heard of that particular model.
Okay.
But these hypercars like this that are electrified are nuts. Crazy. You know, not only just in price, but in terms of performance too.
Right.
It almost looked like a Bugatti from where you were holding too.
Beautiful. It had that profile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful. That Lamborghini, that McLaren, that Bugatti profile. Yeah.
Yeah.
And my guess is they're only going to make a handful of them,
I would imagine. It's funny, Carl, because I remember a few years ago you had quizzed us on the show, actually quizzed Joe and I about electric cars and hybrids and the autonomous stuff. And I remember we gave you all of our stuff. And every time, and we've talked about that through the years now, but every time something else comes up, I always think of you. You're the first person I think of.
Thank you.
It's like, because it's, you know, in my mind, you're the guy that broke that whole area of the hobby open and car ownership.
Well, thank you. And it's interesting because I think that when I first started on the show here with you guys with 2015, 2016, I know it's been a while, you know, autonomy and autonomous vehicles was all at the top of the forefront. And now that's that's still in the conversation, but it's become very clear that achieving autonomous vehicles, it's a very difficult thing. You know, like, for example, right now here in Michigan, here in the Detroit area, snowing today, right? So it's like autonomous cars are struggling, you know, to even execute certain commands in broad daylight, as we see in the AAA studies. You know, they're not able to stop in time for pedestrians and things like that. This is broad daylight, let alone bad weather.
Yeah.
So what has moved to the front now is electrification and vehicles going more electric. And it's not just mainstream vehicles like you think, your typical crossovers and sedans, but it is these high level hyper and super sports cars that have all come out this year and have said, well, this is our last gasoline engine. You know, Lamborghini did it with the Aventador. Audi just recently did it with the R8 GT. Rolls-Royce is doing it. So Lotus is doing it. There's a lot of these high-end manufacturers that have said this year, hey, we're doing a final edition of our of one of our cars, and if you want a gasoline engine, this is the last year, because going forward, everything is going to be electrified. So almost, I think that autonomous was at the top of the conversation maybe 5-6 years ago. Now it's electrification.
Right.
It makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. And I've always felt that in order for anyone to accept, especially car guys, to accept an electrified vehicle, you got to make it look good.
You really
got them. You
just
can't
make it look weird.
Right. Exactly. Because that's what ends up happening. Like, I always think about that BMW that the one they're actually discontinuing now, that it looked like a little multicolored jelly bean. And you see it on the road. Yeah, you'd see it. You knew what it was. But a car guy maybe is not going to take so well to one of those.
Right.
But I've seen the new... What's the new electrified Dodge? The
the Challenger or Charger SRT concept that there was.
Yes. Yeah, right. Sexy looking thing. You're like, I'll drive that any day.
And here's the thing on that. And, you know, I always have to preface this. It's like there's two sides to Carl. There's like the industry side, like what I do in the automotive industry for work. And then there's just me personally, what I like. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to things like the Charger and Challenger going electrified, the industry side of me gets it. I'm like, okay, we all got to move that way. But personally, and I say this because I used to work on the auto show. This is back before Stellantis when it was FCA. Mm-hmm. And I worked on the auto show and I did demo drives for attendees at auto shows all around the country in the Charger and Challenger. So I got real up close with all of the Hemi engines, the 5.7, the 6.4 Hemi, which is still my favorite engine. And then, of course, the 6.2 supercharged Hemi.
Sure.
And it is hard for me personally to see those cars electrified. And I know we got to do it, but I have a hard time seeing a Charger and Challenger, a Mopar, anything other than, you know, a standard Hemi engine. It's hard for me personally to really get behind that.
No, you're absolutely right. But I think they're making it easier to grasp when they make the car so good looking. I think they're aware. I think I would like to think that they are aware of exactly what you've posed.
Right.
That traditions die hard in those fields.
One of the things, go ahead, Ray.
I was going to say, I want to say, I want to pose this to the listeners. If you want to call in and ask Carl a question or get in on the conversation, 516-572-7440.
What is, you know, and there was a, this, I don't know quite how long this has been going on, but when I first started in the business, and so I started selling cars at Sioux Falls Ford in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And in 2011, when the new Mustang came out, so the switch over from the 4.6 to the 5.0, and the car was, you know, lighter, and Ford engineers had actually worked with tuning the exhaust in the Mustang to get it to have a certain sound. And the sound engineers worked just countless hours on this. It was the same when the Camaro was redesigned. And so, and I know Ford has done that again with the Mustang. They did the same thing or something similar, is my understanding, with this new Charger SRT concept. Because I was reading about that at SEMA, that sort of this, and this is not the perfect, this is not the official term, but like e-exhaust or whatever, the electrified Charger and Challenger is going to have an electrified enhanced exhaust.
Matt Goman Brian just said, yeah, it's all fine and dandy and well until they put a fake hot rod sound on there. And then it's like, and I remember
he's right.
There was a motorcycle company that did that to try and mimic a Harley. It was an e-cycle they came out with, and they gave it a soundtrack of like, to sound like a Harley, and Harley, you know, replied, sued, and won because it was a copywritten sound. So yeah, you know, if you're going to do it, just do it. And yeah, don't try and, you know,
right.
Don't try and this, lipstick on it.
This is where it gets tough. So again, now you go back to the industry side. And so the industry says, well, we have data, you know, collectively that says future car buyers are going to value different things than you and I would value. So it's probably safe to say that most everybody in the Motormouth crowd, we value a vehicle based on things like, you know, engine power, performance, 0 to 60 time, you know, does the car look good? Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, you know, Ray, when you post, you know, vehicles out in front of the shop, it's like they look good. Right.
Yeah.
So we evaluate a vehicle differently. You know, how does it handle on the open road? And there is research and there's studies that are very credible in the automotive industry. Harman International has recently done one. Their group is the Experience Per Mile Council, if anybody's interested. But they say that future car buyers will be more interested in interior technology and having an experience inside the car that more models a smartphone. So then exhaust systems and, yes, you know, raw horsepower under the hood is less of a desire versus our generation.
You know, you're talking to guys who grew up and the biggest experience you could want to have inside the car was usually in the back seat.
Didn't involve a cell phone.
And there was no phone in sight. Just saying.
What's that Clarence Carter song, Stroking? And
yeah,
he's in the back seat,
right.
And the officer comes up and knocks on the window.
Yeah. We have a knock on the window. Let's go to the phones and we'll go to the fun. And we'll say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths and Carl Anthony.
How you doing there, Ray? It's Steve Webb.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Hey, Steve.
Good.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah, you know, we're just talking about electric cars and things, and one of the things I heard, okay, is that not only that your electric car is going to be your transportation, but the computer in the car is going to be a supercomputer, okay, and your car is going to be everything to you. It's going to be your entertainment. It's going to have an address. It's really what's going to make you want to buy an electric car is not so much the transportation value of it, but the computer that's in it, okay? It's going to be a supercomputer, and it'll be your emergency backup power in your house. It's going to be your entertainment, your Wi-Fi.
Right.
It's going to be everything. So I think that's what the future is holding for electric cars. It's not so much transportation, but also the supercomputer that's going to drive it. That's what people are going to be after. Yeah.
And so 100%
I was wondering what
right.
Paul had to say about that.
No, that's been around for a little while, that trend. We talked about that. And I think when I talked about that story a few months ago, I said, and that's why I'm keeping my old cars. You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know if I want that level. I definitely don't want that level of intrusiveness. I've already started to try and move away from technology because of the intrusiveness. And I don't want it in my car. The car is a sanctuary. As far as I'm concerned.
Right. I was at NAIS, so North American International Auto Show, Detroit Auto Show. This is back in probably 2017, 2018, so not really all that long ago. And there, one of the conversations and some of the demo technology being shown was exactly what you're talking about, that the car is not just a modes of transportation, but it's like this personal assistant on wheels. And the specific technology I saw, and this is where you get into cybersecurity issues, Ray, you're talking about intrusiveness, right? And being more vulnerable to cyber attacks. But you could essentially have your car, if you had, say, like a smart home and a smart refrigerator, right? You compare all these things. So your smart refrigerator figures out that you're low on milk and low on eggs. It sends a notification to your car. Then when you get off work, you get in your car says, hey, you know, you're low on milk and eggs or whatever. Do you want me the navigation? Do you want me to route you to the nearest grocery store? Or do you want me to just order it for you? Mm. And then you pick it up. So it's not far-fetched to think that, and I think that is exactly where we're heading, sooner than later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to find the off switch for that. Because, hey, you know what? I'll pick when I'm going to go to the store and what I'm going to buy. You know, yep. I don't know. I get itchy when I think about that much intrusion into my, and I understand the, and I understand how some people like that factor of the sure. ease of it. And of course, most of those people are probably younger than us, but I think it's a slippery slope. I really do. I think it's something to be very watched out for.
Well, yeah. and one of the things that was troublesome is in that same demonstration at NAIS, one of them was, you know, if your anniversary or your birth or a significant other's birthday that your car will remind you of. And I'm in the room. I'm going, man, am I the only one thinking that you're in huge trouble if your car's reminding you of your anniversary? You know, so, but yeah, all kinds of stuff because it would all be synced with your calendar, your Google right. calendar or whatever you're using.
Let's go to the phones again. Let's go to the phones and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, guys. Me, Rob. How you doing?
What's up, Rob?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Rob.
Now, speaking with electric vehicles here, you know, great concept and all, but the thing is that a good majority of the people who live in this country, especially in, like, you know, inner cities, they really don't have a method or means to plug these things in. You know, you drive down any street in Brooklyn or Queens, and you see thousands, tens of thousands of cars lined up along, you know, the curb and people living in apartments. So, you know, one of the big right. concerns is where do people plug these things in? You know,
you need to call the other line, talk to point. Rob Leonard, who's out there, because he's got a lot of thoughts on that that are contrary to that, because I brought that exact point up a few times. And that's very curious.
You know, every commercial that you see for an EV, all right, you know, the person pulls into their nice, you know, driveway in their suburban neighborhood. They go and they plug the thing in. They walk past, you know, their finely manicured lawn and their nice flowers, and they go in the house and the sun is shining and everything's beautiful. Okay, but that's not reality.
Mm. Right.
Yeah. So, what do you do? You know, unless they want to push the people more on just public transportation. That and also these things, they're really not cheap. No. And the only way a lot of people do afford them, you know, the government gives a lot of subsidies for these cars. Just, you know, how much in the way of subsidies can the U.S. government give people buying EVs, you know? And then looking further down the road, there is a cost associated with maintenance of these things. They say that, oh, they're maintenance free. Nothing's maintenance free, all right? And then right. once you get to the end of the life of the battery, you know, and who knows, that could be, you know, 4 or 5 years, 7, 8 years, 10 years. It depends on how the battery is used and how it's charged, you know, and the environment that it's being, you know, used in, extreme cold, extreme heat.
And then recycling the batteries, that's a whole other thing.
Right.
Yeah, you're onto a lot of stuff there, Rob, which are all hot points, which we've been talking about for a while. And unfortunately, the other hot point that we're at now that we have to talk about is our bottom of the hour break. So we need to go and take care of that. So
well, that means I got to get out of here.
Yeah, we appreciate the call. Thanks for
thanks great
for the
points,
food for thought,
though, seriously.
Have a great day, guys.
And, okay, and you too. Merry Christmas.
Thanks.
Hello. Bye-bye.
All right. So we are at the bottom of the hour, and I have to mention a few things. You should listen on this fine station to the Nassau Morning Madhouse every weekday morning from 7 to 9. You can find out what you need to know, how to start your day the right way. And like this show, you tune in to find out what's trending and maybe laugh a little too, which is always good. I also would be remiss if I didn't mention that WHPC weather forecast is sponsored by Pantano's Gourmet in Hewlett, Uniondale, Garden City Park. And today, we're looking at mostly cloudy weather, around 40, unlike Carl, who's buried in snow. We should be have clouds overnight. They're going to continue 29 and sunny tomorrow with a high of 40, which is great.
It's the same thing here, only about 10 degrees cooler.
So,
here in the Nutmeg State.
But what always makes us 10 degrees cooler is the Motor Mouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. Do we have one today?
Oh, yes.
That was pretty good, right? Do it long enough and it just kind of comes to you, though. So.
Yes, we do have a group that we honor, and this week's honor group here at Motor Mouth Radio is if your classic car gets more presents from Santa than you do. Does your holiday wish list include mag wheels, a chrome engine dress-up kit, and a fleece-lined car cover for your classic car, and a polo shirt and some woolen socks for you? Does your family go shopping for you at the local auto parts store? Did you ask Santa for some holiday cheer in the form of a shiny tool? Wouldn't a shiny tool for the holidays be a great gift to stuff in your stocking? Everybody wants a shiny tool, right?
Yeah.
So if your classic car gets more for the holidays than you do, that you're part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour.
That's perfect.
Excellent. Excellent. That's I have to just reply to Joe here. So, so listen, we have a really cool musical break. We're in jazz mode because that's my choice here. So, Carl, I know, you know, I started off the beginning with a great little drum solo I've been practicing for like 900 years. This sure. time, Joe was always playing the bass part to this next song, but since he's not in the studio,
right?
I need you to do it, and I know you can. I know that you've been, you've been practicing, and
absolutely.
It's the spotlight piece. So it's like the light is on you. It's a hot white spot. There's a little Chris. You do the finger snapping because you got to do something, right?
I mean, right.
I got to do something. Yes. Yeah.
You finger snap, Carl, you do the bass, I'll fill in with the drums, and we'll be back with more Motormouth Radio in just a couple of minutes. So keep it where you got it on 90.3 WHBC. Hit it, boys!
Carl Anthony with Automoblog and Auto Vision News, and you're listening to Ray and Chris on Motormouth Radio, WHPC 90.3 FM.
190.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limerick and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CarStar Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y si hablamos español.
More information is available at 516-593-0920 or online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You're listening to the Motormouth.
Hey, how's it going? First time caller here.
Everybody on a Sunday, work on your car and listen to the show.
Hey, it's always a pleasure. Chris, I didn't get to chat with you.
This is a great show. I'm checking off all the boxes.
Motormouth!
Hey, I don't mess with stock. Stock stinks.
He was under a car or under somebody else's car.
I wanted to commend you on your selection of music.
Motormouth!
Cars are for driving, not for eating it.
Even if Ray is talking to Chris on the phone,
Motormouth!
In the same room, I'm doing my show.
Get some advice on getting my lawnmower to start up.
Our trained staff of two will help.
And typically, we don't work on that kind of car.
Yeah, I was going to call in, and your guest mentioned my dilemma.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Every Sunday, 12 o'clock, my phone goes, Motormouth Radio.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
Nobody knows your car's like you.
Ray was here early, but then he had to go through this thing that he does on Sundays.
And what do you have, like 9 people listening to you right now?
Motormouth!
Millions of listeners, 9 paying attention.
Hush your mouth and play some more good music.
You just went for 2+ hours on Thursday talking about cars and stuff. I want to see you do 2 minutes. Because you are a Motormouth, my friend.
I am a Motormouth.
Let's face it.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motormouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
Motormouth!
Get over here. Every Sunday, 12 to 1, you are going to tune in to hear the Motormouths, my friends Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. 90.3 FM, WHPC. You might learn something.
Oh, yeah, we're all learning something here on Motormouth Radio today. Excellent, excellent spot, fellas. You did very good on the musicality. You passed.
Yeah.
You're in the band.
Thank
you. Joe is a great teacher on all of these air instruments. He taught me guitar, and then, you know, we went through the rest, you know, bass and everything.
Not only is Joe a great trainer and technician and you know, automotive expert, he is a great musician and good teacher, too. So, yeah, it's all good. It's all good. So, yeah, thanks, everybody, for their part in that. That was very good. That made our break nice. So, again, you can call if you want to talk to Carl. We're in the second half of the show, 516-572-7440. My chiropractor's calling me. I guess he's not calling me here. He's calling me there. So, you know what? Let's push this. Whoa, and drop that and push this and say, hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
I get the second half hour of Motormouth Radio.
Ah, Bob, how are you?
Hey, Bob.
Good. It's Bob from Michael Center. Merry Christmas to all you guys.
Thank you,
Merry
Bob.
Merry Christmas.
Great program. And I was thinking about the electrification of these vehicles and what the computers are going to direct us to. Mm-hmm. Well, they're going to direct me into a favorite pastime, and that's chewing glass.
That sounds like a Brancatello moment there for me. I really, you know. Very good.
And I thought maybe a roadside, I could sell rocks on the Jersey Turnpike.
Right.
For all those lovely people who are broken down on Jersey Turnpike with no power.
There you go.
So that's my take on this electrification.
All right. That's interesting.
Well, Motormouth's been great for another year, and Merry Christmas to you guys.
Thank you. Yeah.
And
Thank
we'll
you.
Catch up. We'll catch up the week after Christmas.
We'll be yes. We'll be here in 2 weeks. We'll be back, of course, on New Year's Day. We'll start the new year with this soiree. So we look forward to hearing from you, Bob.
Yeah. Can't thank you enough.
Thank you, Bob.
Yeah. Merry Christmas, Bob. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
It's all of that. What Bob was saying, and was it Rob that called before?
Yes.
Yes.
And these are questions that I like to say are beyond the headlines, beyond the press release. Mm-hmm. So the press releases and the headlines and sort of the summary of electrification, it gives you all of the high points. And, you know, I'm not disagreeing with any of the high points.
Right.
All we're saying is that there are other questions, as two callers have now brought up. And particularly to Rob's, if you go down any neighborhood in any city, you do. It's the same thing here in Detroit. Even in the Motor City itself, you see cars that are parked on both sides of the street in these neighborhoods. And
yeah, sure.
I think that's a legitimate question. And we went through this with autonomous vehicles, where we saw these amazing sort of headlines back in 2015, 2014. That really, if you would have believed them at the time, we would have had self-driving cars in full production, full mass production by 2020. Well, very clearly that didn't happen.
Right.
You know, I can go back one more step just to cut you off.
Yeah, please.
George Jetson promised this to me in the 60s, and it still didn't happen.
It still didn't happen.
Right.
So, again, we just have to be diligent and cognizant as an industry that we don't get into a silo and we don't start thinking, hey, we have this solution and it's this perfect solution, without taking, you know, into consideration the things like Rob is saying. Hey, I live on a busy street that's packed. People are parking on both sides. I'm not sure about what, you know, where would I put my charging station? You know, those are questions that we still have yet to really fully, we still need to dive into those, and we still need to take into consideration that it's everyday people that buy cars, right?
Yeah, that's why I think that there's a lot more driving the agenda than just for the good of all. Because take any of our households, and they're all varied in size. And look at the household you grew up in. When there was something that went on there that had to be decided or done, there could be all sorts of different opinions. And like Chris was talking about, Christmas fights and all sorts of stuff. I mean, you could have anything from an intelligent discussion to like throwing pots and pans, and like, you know, Chris getting hit with the freaking wooden spoon, you know? It's like,
right.
Shut up,
sit down. So if a household can't run smoothly, and none of them really do all the time, there's always things like that. How do they expect the country, everybody in the country, to just all of a sudden be on board?
Right. Well, here's something that I wanted to chime in that adds to that, right? Mm-hmm. Because aren't companies like Honda and Toyota literally not, they're still in engine development. They're not thinking about electric cars, and I think they are going to satisfy that need, because I'm thinking that the internal combustion engine is still alive and well, and it still will be produced. You can't just stop them. Am I right, Carl?
Yeah, you are. And I think specifically to Toyota is a fine example, where they have gone more sort of the hybrid and plug-in hybrid route,
right?
Mm-hmm. Where I think that there's, you know, I might be oversimplifying this here, but there's sort of a middle ground. So you have people that are going to be most comfortable with internal combustion engines and they're going to stay that way. You have other people that go, yeah, an electric vehicle, I'm all in, sign me up. And then you have people who are somewhere in the middle that go, yeah, you know, I could kind of see the benefits of an of electrification, but I feel really comfortable having that engine. You know, I think the fuel economy is great and my driving style is such that a hybrid would be really good for me, you know? So there's people in that middle ground. And I think that's who Toyota is. I think Toyota specifically is targeting that group of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. I have family that have a Ford. I think it's the Fusion Hybrid.
Right.
It was like the last Ford sedan. And on a regular basis, they're getting 44 miles to a gallon of gasoline and
right.
with the hybrid technology and loving it.
And in my experience with hybrids, and I've been asked this question before, you know, where people will either email the site or when I was on the auto show and they say, you know, should I get a hybrid? You know, am I going to get better fuel economy? And my qualifier to that was always only if you're driving in the city. You know, I have driven hybrids on the highway and I've not found the fuel economy is all that better than a small displacement four cylinder, right? You know, for the money that you would spend to get the hybrid. So if you're doing city driving, if you're doing all city driving, I think the hybrid is a better way to go. If you're doing a lot of highway driving, I still think you're best to just get a good fuel efficient four cylinder front wheel drive type vehicle versus spending the money for a hybrid. So I think, yeah, you know, you have to look at, you know, what do you drive? And I think that's where the marketing for EVs is very clever because they say, you know, you have, you know, the average person, if they drive only 30 miles a day, well, you know, and you have, you know, you can go 300 miles on a single charge. So I think that that's good marketing, you sure. know, but at the same time, there is a cost. The EVs need to come down in cost. And I think that there's also, you know, what do I do in my house? You know, now there are solutions. You can get charging infrastructure for your house and things like that. But this is radically different. All this right. is a different way of transportation. You are changing a lot more than just putting a new car in your driveway.
What right. we're doing in our house is going to the phone. Somebody wants to talk to yeah. you. So we'll say, hello, caller. We're on the Motor Mouths.
Hey, guys, it's Al Handy. How are you?
Very
hey,
good.
Al. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to everybody there.
What's floating your boat today, Al?
Well, quick question. I was looking at the F-150 hybrid a while back, especially since the Power Wagon gets about 10 miles to the gallon. The problem with them is that their electric motors are in the transmissions. And what I've read over the, because everything's true on the internet, as I say, what I've read yeah. is they've been burning up transmissions like crazy. Carl, have you heard anything about them solving those problems?
I have not heard about them solving the problems. Here's what I can, and I'm not picking on Ford, but here's what I can tell you. They have very strong marketing. So the F-150 yes, right. lighting up a house and things like that.
Yeah.
Take it with a grain of salt.
Right.
I don't know for sure, Al, but I can do some digging around. But I think Ford has a lot of marketing, strong marketing, especially behind the F-150. So just that's something to be aware of, you know.
Yeah, because it was rated to tow 12,000 pounds on a 150, which is, to me, that's crazy. But, mm-hmm. you know, that's what they rated it for. When I was down in Florida at Don Garlett's show, I was bugging the Jeep guy. They had a hybrid there, and I asked him where the motor was. He goes, oh, it's under the hood. I said, no. I said, the electric one. And he goes, oh, I don't really know. And I says, is it a transmission like the Ford? He says, it might be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so all these hybrids are going to wind up having trouble, you know.
I think motors at the wheel is definitely the way to go, without a doubt.
Yeah.
I do, too.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I do, too.
So, interesting stuff.
But well, Jeep is another one where I have a hard time, you know, I have a hard time, and I know that they're going to do it, but I have a hard time picturing an electrified Wrangler for that audience, you know, for that crowd who is used to, you know, diesel engines or who's used to having,
right.
you know, extra cans of gasoline on their Jeep. That's the whole point.
Right.
Yeah. It's for the soccer moms that live in the suburbs. But, you know, there was a commercial on the World Cup
with these Volkswagens driving through the desert. And, oh, we're so happy we got the electric Volkswagen. Yeah, you're going to go 20 miles, 30 miles, and the thing's going to die on you because it's using all the electric power to drive those four tires through that sand.
With sand, right, right.
Yeah, and the temperature of the desert, yeah.
Right, exactly.
Well, maybe they're working on a new satellite charging technology that we don't know about yet.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
But it's a valid point, and I you know, have told people before who have asked, readers who have emailed in and stuff, and I said, you know, one of the easiest ways to think about an electrified vehicle, like charging, is to think just like a gasoline vehicle. So if you have cargo and payload, if it's a cold day, if you're driving into the wind, it's right. Just as that would affect fuel economy, that's going to affect charging as well. And you're right. Yeah. Plowing through the desert, hot, yeah. You know, a lot of resistance from the sand. It's, you know, it's no different than when you drive, you know, Interstate 5 through Arizona and California into the desert, and sure. you see a loss of fuel economy if you have a truck and a trailer, if you're pulling a trailer, right. You know, and you have the air conditioning on. It's the same thing with right. an electrified vehicle. The more you're using in the vehicle, navigation, heat and AC, air conditioned seats, that's going to drain it just like it would in an internal combustion engine.
Yeah.
It was interesting. And the Lightning, Ford just came out and said, do not use your heater in the winter.
Yeah, that's great. That's like California travel. Says, yeah, don't use your AC. I know.
Right. We just have a long way to go. We have over a century of engineering on the internal combustion engine. By comparison, not as much, you know, on the EV side of things.
The flip on another side, what about the hydrogen fuel cells?
Right. Another big trend, right?
Yeah.
That to me seems a lot more doable than the electric right now.
I know Mercedes-Benz was big into it. I got to read up on that, Al, and check in, but it's for whatever reason that's not the trend that took off. You know, even though I know there were other I know Mercedes-Benz is the one that comes to mind, hydrogen fuel cell vehicle.
Right. I know Amazon has converted a lot of their warehouses, their forklifts, to fuel cells. Mm, yep. And there's a lot of European trucking companies running hydrogen-powered trucks across Europe, which is, you know, I can't see why they can't bring it here. It's only water vapor that comes out of the tailpipe.
Right, right.
Right, right. And then some of those forklifts are autonomous, too. They're doing that, you know, so the forklift.
Well, in the warehouses, yeah. Amazon has their robot, their whole robot system that, you know, it monitors traffic through the intersections. They dock themselves when they're low. It's really a pretty cool deal, but that's in a controlled environment, too.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not Avenue U, Chris. You know, like I tell you, it's not a, you know what I mean? It's not
it's a controlled system.
It's not Bensonhurst, you know? Hey, you get out on the boulevard, hey. Forget about it.
Right.
Everybody's in control.
Right. Know? We're all in control.
No, but I'm a big fan of hydrogen as well. I really am. I think hydrogen-fueled vehicles are the way to go. I think it solves all the problems. I think Al's right.
Right. Mm-hmm. One of the best descriptions I heard on this is fairly recently. It was this year. I was at a conference, the Reuters Automotive USA conference here in Detroit. It was back in September. And I heard it said that the industry, as in the automotive industry, is all in on electrification, whether we like it or not.
Oh, boy.
So it's electric vehicles are coming, whether we like
it or
not.
There's
going to be more of it.
I'm sorry, but that sounds to me like a person. The visual I got was a person sitting on their knees with their hands behind their back and a gun to their head. And them saying, I'm all in with whatever you want me to do. You got it. Yes, sir.
Right.
So that's just me. That doesn't reflect the views and opinions of this station or my co-host on the show. But
no, but it is, you know, and I'm a much smaller journalist where I'm a much smaller than, you know, a lot of the other people that are in the industry. So I'm mostly in the room just kind of taking it in and kind of listening. And I'm going, well, that does kind of track. I mean, based on what we're seeing with the marketing and the media relations and the press releases and where product development is going. Yeah, we're all in on electrification, whether we like it or not. we just this is where we're headed, folks.
So, yeah, exactly.
We'll watch the Hindenburg crash and burn before our very eyes.
The hydrogen powered vehicle.
Well, thanks for your thoughts, Al. You're always and I love your greeting today on Instagram with the Christmas trees. Al did a really great engineering Christmas tree thing. I laughed because it was the X, Y, and Z, and you'd have to know a little bit about engineering to get that one. That was excellent, Al. Excellent.
Always good to talk to you, Al. Merry Christmas.
Very good. You guys, again, Merry Christmas. Enjoy the weekend.
All right, I'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thanks, Al. Be safe.
All right, we're getting close to the bottom of this show. Carl, if you want to let people know how they can find you and the things you're involved in, and not you personally, because you don't want our people find you. They'll actually look for you.
I think that by now I'm like in that, right?
You are.
So, best way to follow us, automoblog.net is the homepage, and then we are most active on Twitter at Automoblog, but we have an Instagram page as well. We have a Facebook page. We actually have a pretty vibrant Pinterest page as well.
Oh, wow.
Go figure. So,
cool. Wow.
You just Automoblog, AUTOMOBLOG at Automoblog. Right. And then if you want to follow more the industry side with the electrification and the autonomous driving side and things like that, that's our sister site, AutoVision News. AUTOVISION, AutoVision-News.com. And that is more just focused on electrification and autonomous driving and advanced safety features.
Yeah, our buddy Justin from American Gas Hot Rod Shop up in Saginaw said, hey, you never know. They may be waiting for Carl out in a parking lot like me. So we got to give him a diversion. I love it. Justin picked that up real quick.
I feel like this electrification thing and autonomy, Ray, Chris, we could do a two-hour show on this and open up the phone lines because it's just – I learned something new from every listener that calls in, and that's all good for me to take back into my work every day in the automotive industry. It's a hot topic, and I feel like we only ever scratch the surface when we're on the air like this.
I know. I want to ask you something while we're just to change gears. We're talking about Al's engineering drawing. What is that blueprint looking drawing that's to your left side?
Oh, so that is my backdrop for AutoVision News. That's a banner for AutoVision News. So when we go to conferences, our AutoSense conference, and we set up we set up a little broadcast table where I interview people at the conference. That's just our roll up banner that we have. Yeah. I just put it in the corner of my office because I can hide stuff behind it. There's actually a bunch.
Sure. No, the one end of it kind of looked very schematic-like to me in blueprint form, so that's what caught my eye. I was drawn to it. Very nice.
It looks like an aerial view of a major highway.
One time we get the on-air light, then we have the lava lamp, now we have the back. It's always good.
Yeah, I got the lava lamps ahead of me, so I still got that.
Excellent. All right, awesome. Well, what's not ahead of us is more time, gentlemen. We have to go. Carl, I thank you very much for coming in with us today. It's a pleasure.
Always mine.
We'll have you back in 2023, of course, to talk about all sorts of stuff. And Chris, we're off next week, so we get to play
with all the toys.
So what do we say to the people who are waiting for me out in the parking lot?
Because they're not waiting for me.
Right.
Don't follow us home and keep your computers on automoblog.net. It is a great read. And AutoVision News, great reads. And Carl, thank you for closing out our year once again.
Thanks for another great year with us, Carl. You're a great.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Thank you, fellas. Yes. All right. We'll see you soon on Motormouth Radio 90.3 WHPC. We're out. Bye.